Bombs found at three separate sites in New York and New Jersey could have been part of a coordinated plot. That's according to officials with a suspect already in custody. I'm Dave Heller, and this is NewsWorks Tonight. Let's start in Elizabeth, New Jersey, where five explosive devices were found last night near a train station. Those devices may be linked to bombs that exploded in Seaside and New York City, suspected to be the work of Ahmed Khan Rahami, an Afghan immigrant and naturalized citizen captured today in Linden, New Jersey, after a firefight with police. FBI Special Agent in Chicago Tim Gallagher says the agency is still trying to confirm whether the devices found in Elizabeth match those found in New York City.
We have taken that device, rendered it safe, and shipped it to Quantico, Virginia, to be compared with other explosive devices which have been recovered in the New York City area in the past week. Regarding the enforcement activity which you're referring to in the city of Elizabeth, that's still an ongoing matter.
Elizabeth Mayor Chris Bowlidge says the bombs did not have timers,
which speculation leads that it could have been hastily thrown away in that location, because it was too far from the train station to cause any damage to the train station. And on a Sunday afternoon, that area of the city is pretty vacant.
Union County Acting Prosecutor Grace Park says two officers were wounded when they confronted Rahami.
One officer was struck in the abdomen, but into his bulletproof vest. The other had some glass that struck his forehead, but not into his skull. So we're really grateful that the Linden police officers who confronted Rahami are not in critical condition at all.
Meanwhile, officials in the Philadelphia region are working to ensure that the city is not the next target. SEPTA Police Chief Tom Nestel says public vigilance needs to be a part of any solution.
Here at SEPTA, we're being a little more visible, and we're seeking the help of the public to make sure that we're able to keep people safe by encouraging people to see something, say something. If they see an unattended bag, we want to know about it immediately. Call 911 so that we can get units to go and check it out.
Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kenney says he has confidence in the city's police department, which works with both city and state officials. The trial began today for two former allies of Governor Chris Christie who stand accused of orchestrating choked traffic on the George Washington Bridge. Prosecutors say former Port Authority official Bill Baroni and former Christie aide Bridget Ann Kelly closed lanes on the bridge to retaliate against a political enemy. WHYY's Joe Hernandez reports that opening statements suggest the trial will focus heavily on former Christie ally David Wildstein.
Appointed to the Port Authority by the governor, Wildstein has pleaded guilty to playing a role in the scheme. He's cooperating with the government, and he'll be one of their lead witnesses. Prosecutors say he, Baroni, and Kelly closed two of three lanes leading to the bridge from the town of Fort Lee for 4 days in 2013, causing massive traffic jams. Assistant U.S. Attorney Vikas Khanna said Wildstein and Baroni even bragged to Christie about the hours-long backups. Christie hasn't been charged with a crime and has denied knowing about the plan. When defense attorneys got their turn, they also focused on Wildstein, but mostly in a bid to discredit him. They said Wildstein's role at the Port Authority had little to do with the agency's mission and much more to do with helping Governor Christie politically. Defense Attorney Michael Baldessari called Wildstein a habitual liar and said he was like a ventriloquist doll sitting on the lap of the governor. Assemblyman John Wisniewski, who led one of the legislature's investigations into Bridgegate, did not disagree.
Everybody knew that David Wildstein was up there as an administration fixer, as an enforcer. We've heard those descriptions before today.
Defense attorneys said Wildstein's directives had the force of Christie behind them and that Kelly and Baroni were only taking orders from Trenton. From the New Jersey desk, I'm Joe Hernandez, WHYY News.
The civil trial stemming from June 2013's deadly building collapse in Center City, Philadelphia, got underway today with opening statements from prosecutors. As WHYY's Aaron Moselle reports, defense attorneys are scheduled to have their turn tomorrow.
Nearly two dozen individual defendants are involved in the high-profile case. But during his opening statement to jurors, lead attorney Robert Mongaluzzi largely focused on just four of them: Richard Basciano, Thomas Sidmans, Plato Marinakis, and Griffin Campbell. They are the building's owner, property manager, owner's representative, and demolition contractor. Mongaluzzi says together the four men made decisions that leave them financially responsible for the collapse at 22nd and Market Streets that killed six and injured 13. More. What's worse, Mongaluzzi says each of them knew it all along and did nothing to prevent innocent lives from being lost. He also argued that members of that foursome had no business being part of the sophisticated demolition project taking place along two of the city's busiest blocks. In Mongaluzzi's words, it was the blind leading the blind leading the blind. A jury could award victims and families of those killed millions in damages. On June 5, 2013, a freestanding three-story brick wall collapsed onto and crushed a busy Salvation Army thrift store next door. Afterwards, Campbell and another demolition worker were criminally charged. Both are now serving prison sentences. The civil trial could continue for months. I'm Aaron Mozell, WHYY News.
Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton brought her campaign to Temple University in Philadelphia today, focusing on young voters. Details from WHYY's Dave Davies.
Political pros often say that any campaign's most valuable asset is the candidate's time. So Clinton's speech to about 300 young people at Temple is a measure of just how much her campaign is spending on getting millennials engaged and enthused. Tyler Dre is one who doesn't like the look of the ballot this year.
I'm not happy about it. I think we all made a mistake on electing the two people that we elected for the nominations.
Like a lot of students, Dre supported Bernie Sanders and has a hard time warming to Clinton. In her speech, Clinton addressed that.
I also know that even if you're totally opposed to Donald Trump, you may still have some questions about me. I get that. And I want to do my best to answer those questions.
Clinton said she'll never be the showman Donald Trump is, and that's okay with her.
And it's also true, I do spend a lot of time on the details of policy, like the precise interest rate on your student loans, right down to the decimal. But that's because it's not a detail for you. It's a big deal. And it should be a big deal to your president.
Clinton said if she's in the White House, young people will have a seat at any table where decisions are made. Plenty of students, like education major Brooke Mulroy, are on board.
I think Hillary Clinton is really smart, and she'll carry our country really smoothly, and it'll just kind of feel the same as it is now, like with Obama as president.
Donald Trump will be in the area Thursday for a fundraiser in Philadelphia and a rally in Delaware County. Dave Davies, WHYY News.
This evening, the National Constitution Center in Philadelphia will award its Liberty Medal to John Lewis, a congressman from Georgia and an icon of the civil rights movement. From WHYY's Arts and Culture Desk, Peter Crimmins reports that Lewis spent much of the day across the river in Camden.
The morning rain let up in time for Congressman John Lewis to get to a blighted block of Camden, to a boarded-up house on Walnut Street where Dr. Martin Luther King stayed in the 1940s while he studied at a nearby seminary. This is where Dr. King lived when he performed his very first act of civil disobedience, a sit-in at a coffee shop in Maple Shade that refused him service. A local preservationist is pushing to have the house declared an historic landmark. Outside the house, Lewis recalled the first time he met Dr. King. The son of a sharecropper, he wanted to go to a college that only accepted white students, so Lewis wrote King a letter and took a bus from Troy, Alabama, to meet him in a church in Montgomery.
I was so scared. I didn't know what to say or what to do. And Dr. King said, "Are you John Lewis? Are you the boy from Troy?" And I said, "Dr. King, I am John Robert Lewis." I gave my whole name. And he started calling me the boy from Troy.
That relationship bloomed a few years later when Lewis helped King coordinate the March on Washington in 1963. And then in 1965, Lewis led a march in Selma, Alabama, that resulted in a violent clash with the police, who fractured his skull. Now 76, Lewis is a longtime legislator who still organizes acts of civil disobedience. Last summer, he staged a sit-in at the Capitol over a gun control bill which had been voted down. Speaking to members of the clergy and the local NAACP at a luncheon in Camden, Lewis made no mention of any future legislation to curb gun violence. Instead, he advocated grassroots community-building efforts to challenge the influence of the National Rifle Association.
It's true that I was beaten a few times, got arrested a few times, and went to jail. But I'm not bitter. I'm not hostile. And I tell you, I love everybody. Just love everybody. Tell our children, tell our young people, love is a better way.
Following his acceptance of the Liberty Medal at the Constitution Center, Lewis will launch a voter registration campaign for Democrats in Pennsylvania. I'm Peter Crimmins, WHYY News.
That's all for tonight's show. NewsWorks Tonight is produced by Shai Ben-Yaakov, Kimberly Haas, Ty Johnson, and Brett Rader. Find us on iTunes or listen back at newsworks.org. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dave Heller for NewsWorks Tonight.